We're going to be looking at anger this morning, and I have a prop, so I'll get to the prop in a second. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to be there and go a couple other places also, so if you can hold that place, and then we'll go a couple of other places too. But I want to share with you from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, about what God says to us about anger. And honestly, I need to be honest with you in saying that I really feel like this is a place that we may need to park for a little while. We're definitely going to do the seven. We're going to go through the seven: gluttony, pride, anger, lust, all of them. But I'm going to talk to Gary and Kobe and Dr. Reed and maybe look at coming back at anger. And I just think there's a lot here that we cannot cover in one time. And I really want to dig deep here because I think this is an emotion and a sin that strikes at the heart of all of us. Laura and I were in Houston on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of last week. And one of the things that we were trying to accomplish was get my niece, my great niece, actually, on a plane to Jamaica so she could spend the week with Evan over spring break, or not over spring break, but over a week of vacation that she had in the summer. And Evan is down there serving as a missionary all summer long. And we got her on the plane Sunday, and she actually, in just about an hour, should be flying back and be back in Houston about 2:30 or 3 this afternoon. And we're praying that she had a good week from what we can understand she had. When we were driving out to pick her up, we came up to a place in the freeway that most of you are probably pretty familiar with, where you exit off the freeway and you're on the feeder road and you're going to turn left. And a lot of those places have two left-hand turn lanes, you know, where you can two cars can turn left at the same time. And I'd come up into the inside lane, and there was a car beside me in the next lane, and the light changed, and when the light changed, we both started to turn, and the guy that was in my right lane next to me, but who was turning left with me, began faster than I did, and as he turned into my lane. You know how they had the little stripes, and you're supposed to stay in your lane, and he turned into my lane. Now, I did what you would have done as a believer in Christ. I honked at him in a Christian way. You know, it wasn't like a 30-second honk or anything like that. I just kind of did one of those, you know, hey, you're in my lane, honk. You know, at least that was my interpretation of it. Laura said, oh, after I honked, she just kind of made that exclamation of kind of like, what are you doing? And I said, he was in my lane. And about that time, his hand came out the window, and he gave the universal sign for I'm not very happy with you, honking at me. And I just thought I would floor it then and see if I could catch up with him and give another sign back that would show that I'm not happy with him, that wouldn't be as ugly as his sign, but would be more along the lines of what I thought Jesus would do, you know. And anyhow, I didn't catch up with him because he was going so fast. And I think he realized that I had a pistol in my car, and he drove. No, I'm just teasing. But you could tell he was, he wanted to say something to me or show me something, and then he wanted to leave as fast as he could. And I just began to think it was interesting because I'd already begun preparing for this morning, and I thought, that's what the world has become. I mean, in fact, I've heard it described that the world we live in now and the age that we live in now is called the age of rage. And I thought that really describes kind of what's going on. You think about all the things that you see in your life now that just seem to make people angry. We were talking about in the break room earlier this week, my secretary was talking about that she had started couponing, that she had started cutting out coupons. And I said, you're the kind of person that I don't like getting in line behind at the grocery store. And I thought about how sometimes when I see people whip out hundreds of coupons, how angry I get and frustrated I get. And I started thinking about parents at baseball games. Did you see the video clip? I think Dr. Reed showed a video clip of one in the first service, but the clip of people fighting over baseballs and taking them away from little children and all that stuff. There was one that happened the other day where an older boy stole a ball kind of from a younger boy, and the younger boy just went to pieces. And then the older boy kind of realized what had happened. He was probably only about 12 or 13. And he realized what had happened, that the ball was not meant for him, that it was meant for this little 6 or 7 year old boy. And the little 6 or 7 year old boy was just wailing in his mom's arms because he had not gotten this little ball, baseball. And the 13 year old boy kind of realized what had happened, and he walked down and he handed the ball to the little 7 year old boy. And the radio and TV commentators had seen all this happening, and they began to talk about what an incredible young man this was to do that. And they actually brought him up in the booth and got him all kinds of signed baseballs and bats and all kinds of stuff because he had done the right thing. But unfortunately, in the society we live in today, that's not the case most of the time. Most of us have such an anger quotient that it's unbelievable how we look at the world. We look at the world through angry eyes. And you don't have to go back weeks or months to find examples of people being angry. Just what was it, yesterday or day before yesterday in Norway, a man blows up a building and then goes to a youth camp and takes a rifle and dressed in a police uniform, shoots almost 100 people, 100 children. I mean, you don't have to look very far to think about anger. I read just this morning about a birthday party that happened, I think it was up in Jacksonville, Texas, just yesterday, and a father was angry because his wife and he had gotten into an argument, and they were at a birthday party at a roller skate rink, and he shot everyone in his family and killed them, and then turned the gun on himself and killed himself in front of all those children at a birthday party. You just don't have to go very far to find how anger just overwhelms and controls people and makes them do things that are so ungodly and so full of sin. The problem is that as believers, we tend to look at things like that and we say, that's incredible. How can people have that much anger? I would never do anything like that. And yet we find ourselves with anger invading our lives. And we do things that are ungodly too. Now, that would never, and I pray to God this would never be you, where you would hurt somebody else or kill somebody else. But we do things in anger that sometimes do hurt, even though they're not necessarily physical. They can be emotional, and they can be physical, but they can be emotional. And they can do all kinds of things that affect other people. And so we, as believers, called to a different standard, called to a godly standard, need to understand this sin, and we need to be able to wrap our minds around this sin and then say, what can we do as believers in Jesus Christ to not get caught in this sin in our life? So we're going to take a few moments here, and we're going to look at this sin. We're going to try to define it for you, and then we're going to try and tell you ways that you can prevent it. And whenever I use the word you, I'm talking me too. This is something. In fact, of all the sins, the seven deadly sins that we're studying, this sin is the one that has probably affected my life the most. I have struggled with this sin in my life, and it has been a hard thing for me to put the cap on and stop it. I can go back and look at lots of things in my life that I think may have brought this sin into my life. Laura and I have talked about it before. I think being raised in an athletic mindset put me around a lot of coaches whose coaching thought process involved yelling and screaming to get the desired result. And when I look back at my life, I see a lot of that. I see no anger in my mom and my dad, but I have seen it in my life. And it is something that I'm telling you on a personal level that I have had to deal with. And I have had to ask God, not only for forgiveness from, but in help with dealing with it. And we'll talk about how you can do that same thing too. So please, please, in no way think that I'm preaching to the choir here about something you need to fix because I've got it figured out. That is not the case here. The case here is that I understand that it's a sin. The case here is that I know God has helped me to understand what brings it. And the case here is that God has shown us clearly how we can deal with it. And so for you and for me, this hits home very, very close. Let's look at Ephesians here. I've asked Ashley to put up on the screen, even though it says, or it doesn't say maybe, since your outline is blank inside, it doesn't say it, but what I have is Ephesians 4:26 listed here. But what I want to do is look at Ephesians 4:25 through 29. So if you'll go there in your scripture, and I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, all right? Ephesians 4:25 through 29 says this, "So put away all falsehood, and tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." And in just a few moments, we're going to go back there to verse 31 as we kind of close up and wrap up today. But I think it's interesting, a couple of things here that I want to point out to you, and then I want to kind of help you define anger and help myself define anger. One of the things that I want to point out to you is something that we have a tendency to do with our lives, which is we take a sin that really affects us and we say about that sin that's a sin. For instance, I struggle with anger and I say that's a sin, I understand it, and I have a problem with it. But we'll take another sin that we don't have a problem with, and somehow we'll make that a much bigger sin, a much bigger sin in God's eyes. And it's interesting here that in verse 28, he talks about anger in verse 25, 26, and 27. In verse 28, he talks about stealing. And I think part of what he's trying to help you to understand and me understand is that when it comes to sin, God doesn't look at them and categorize them. He doesn't look at them and go, oh, that's not such a bad sin against me, and I'm okay with you doing that. He doesn't. But we, as humans, tend to do that. We tend to say, holy cow, he robbed a bank. How awful is that? What kind of a person would do that? What kind of a sinner would get caught doing that? And then we take the sin that's in our life, the anger or the lust or the gluttony or the pride or whatever it is that you struggle with, and we tend to say, well, you know, God's okay with that. God understands me struggling with this sin. And the truth is, he doesn't. The truth is, he looks at that sin through the same glasses, the same perspective. When God looks at sin, he sees sin and knows that he cannot stand it. And so in these verses, he helps you and I to understand the struggle that we have with anger is a sin that we need to deal with. Let's define it for just a moment here. First of all, this: anger is an emotion that has many manifestations. Anger is an emotion that has many manifestations. And by that, I mean when we say the word anger, it can show itself in many forms, in many fashions. It does a lot of things to you personally. When you become angry, there's a lot of things physically that happen to you. Typically, when a person gets angry, their mouth goes dry, their blood pressure goes up, their heart rate gets faster. There's lots of physical things that can be a cue for you that you're getting angry and that you need to do something that might help you diffuse the situation. One of the best things that my mom ever taught me was the ability to walk away from a situation. And I've had to learn to practice that many times in my life. when something is not going just the way that I want it to go, or something didn't happen the way I hoped it would happen, I've learned to practice the skill of walking away. I'm not great at it. I don't do it all the time. But it's something you need to put into your arsenal of how you deal with anger. And when those manifestations come out, when you understand that you're beginning to get angry, when your blood pressure rises, when your mouth goes dry, when your heartbeat gets faster, when you feel like the top is about to blow off your head, one of the things that you can practice is walking away. But the manifestations thing also needs, you need to understand that it can come in different forms too, as the way you express your anger. Sometimes you can physically express your anger. We've seen this before when people hit other people. We've seen it before, unfortunately, when adults hit children. We've seen it before when words are said, and the scripture says it down here, about foul and abusive language. I teased with you a minute ago, but it was very truthful that what happened when I turned left is I tapped on the horn to let that guy know he was coming into my lane, and it made me nervous about the possibility of hitting him. But what he did was a manifestation of anger. You know, realistically, I think if he would have thought about it, he'd have thought, oh my gosh, I'm in the wrong lane. I need to be over in this lane. And he'd have driven on and never displayed anger to me. But that wasn't what he did. He displayed anger toward me. And I'm not accusing him of doing anything worse than I've ever done. I've been honked at before too when I thought I was in the right and said things and did things that I probably would not be proud of, and you wouldn't either. That understanding helps us to understand kind of what anger is, because you cannot put it in a box. You cannot say, well, the only way anger ever shows itself is I say something ugly. No, because anger can be something where you do something physically also. And anger can be something where you do something emotionally too. I don't know how many of you practice this. It used to be pretty heavily practiced at my house by me. But when I got frustrated with my wife or frustrated with my children, the easiest way for me to be angry was just to get mad and pout. Because I thought if I pouted long enough, I could probably get my way. And that's a manifestation of anger. Instead of me using my skill of words, or instead of me verbally talking with Laura or with my children about how we can work through this situation that has me frustrated, no, I would do things. I would lash out. I would pout. I had all kinds of arsenals in my weapons of how I could manifest my anger. And you need to understand that too. You need to understand that anger can come in many different forms, many different shapes, many different varieties. The second thing is this: what we do with our anger tells others about us. You know, how you express your anger is very important. How you let other people know you're angry. Laura has tried and tried to get me to do this, and it's something you need to learn to practice too. But it's learn to practice your words and use them in a calm manner. Very difficult for people who struggle with anger. But to be able to say, I'm angry about what happened, and I want to know how to deal with it. How can we work this out? How can we deal with it? But people do horrible things, like we know about, that we read about, and that I explained to you about what happened just a couple of days ago in Norway. People do horrible things when they express their anger. And they show different ways of being angry. But there are good ways to express our anger and proper ways to express our anger. But the way we do it tells other people about us. Now, it's important for you to understand this, very, very important for you to understand this, that you are called to a higher standard. When you look at Ephesians and when you look at how Paul leads into verse 25, he is talking to believers who have started a relationship with Christ. And what he's saying is, you are children who live in the light. You don't live like the world lives anymore. So now that you don't live like the world lives anymore, how are we going to deal with this anger quotient that's in your life? And that's when he begins to say to you and to me, we have got to deal with it differently than the world does. And for you to understand that, really, I think, throws a whole new mix in. And here's the new mix that really frustrates me and probably really frustrates you if you deal with this. The world doesn't have to deal with anger the same way you have to deal with it. Oh yeah, there's rules, trust me. I mean, nobody, believer or non-believer, can get a gun and shoot somebody. That's against the law. But if somebody wants to drive down the road and do a sign to you, they're not going to get in trouble for that, more than likely. They can do that all day long if they want to. They can roll down the window and they can scream at you. I've had people do that with me before where they scream at you. I had a police officer one time when I walked across the road when I was in college to go to a baseball game. I had a police officer that came up and grabbed me and shook me and just got all in my face incorrectly. And I'll tell you the story someday. It's a great story. I think I've shared it one time in here before. But he did something wrong. And I was even, I'll help you understand that, to know that other policemen came and pulled him off of me and asked me just to walk away and please forget it. He didn't know what he was doing. And the man was just angry. And the way he expressed himself, please, not making a judgment call on his life here, but the way he expressed himself was not as a believer would express himself. And we are called to a different standard. And when you are angry, you are supposed to act like a believer, not as a non-believer. And that's what Paul's telling us here in Ephesians. He said, you're supposed to do differently than the rest of the world does when it comes to anger in your life. Very difficult. Very frustrating for those of us who struggle with this sin, but very truthful. One of the things that he tells us about, and we'll talk about in a moment again, but is one of the things that we as believers need to practice, is not harboring the anger. That's why he says, when you go to bed, put the anger away. It's got to be done with, so that when you wake up the next morning, you're not angry again. And the next morning, and the next morning. It's what I call slow roasting, you know, where you just day after day after day think and think and think about something, and it just invades you and eats you alive. You know, the sin of anger is a very devastating sin, because who it hurts more than anybody is yourself. When that anger stays within you and you park it in your life, probably the situation that you're angry at or the person that you're angry at probably doesn't have a clue that you're angry at them. Or if they have a clue, they don't care. But that anger eats at you and eats at you until you become unhealthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. And God understands that. And that's why he says, go to bed and don't be angry anymore. Let it go. Third thing to help us define anger is that anger is neutral. Anger is neutral. And I wanted to bring this up here and share it with you. This is a cool thing that I was able to bring home from Jamaica. It's a Jamaican walking stick, and it's really one of my favorite things. And in fact, I had a friend in the office the other day, and he saw it, and he said, can you get me one of those? And I said, yeah, I can. I can get Evan to bring you back one. There's a guy in Jamaica called Stick Man. And he takes the roots of trees, and he dries them out, and then he carves in them. This one has the scripture in it, carved in it, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of our praise, 1 Chronicles 16:25. And then he polishes it and paints it and puts a coat of varnish on it. Now, I've described this stick to you, but I could come out in just a second, and I could grab Chase over there, and I could take the stick, and I could start wailing on him with this stick, just hitting the daylights out of Chase with this stick. And some of you might want me to do that. I don't know. But it wouldn't be the stick's fault. It would be my fault, because I'm the one that's holding it. And it's amazing, because it's a stick with scripture and all that kind of stuff. So you might think, well, that's a holy stick. Well, no, it's just a stick. It's a stick. And it can do good things, like I can walk with it, and I can share a verse with it, or I can beat the tar out of somebody with it. It's just up to me. It's my choice. That's the same thing with anger. Anger is your choice. It's an emotion. We have it. And honestly, I will share with you in just a moment, it's a good emotion that you can do some good things with. But it can also be a very bad emotion that you can do very bad things with. But it's neutral. It's up to you what you do with anger. So let's look at a few things. Let's look at some things that help us understand what the Scripture says about anger and how we can deal with it and make it practical here for you. First thing is this: anger can be righteous. John 2:14-16 helps us to understand that. This is where Jesus was in the temple, and he saw people selling things in the temple, and he got very angry. Listen to what the Scripture says, John 2:14-16. It says, in the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. And then Jesus made a whip from some ropes, and he chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle and scattered the money changers, and he put the coins all over the floor, and he turned over their tables. And then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. You see, Jesus was very upset with what was going on in his house. And there are some times in your life when anger is appropriate. And the one that I know for sure, because Scripture teaches us, is when it goes against God's will or against God's word, you have the right to be angry. And you can be angry without sinning. Now, there's a difference between being angry and sinning, obviously, and being angry without sin. Jesus showed us how you can be angry and not sin. He was sinless. He was blameless, the Scripture told us. But when he saw something going on in the house of worship that he knew was improper, he took it and he said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to allow that to happen. And he took people and he said, no more, not in my house. Now, this is where one of my biggest frustrations, I think, is with the church and where the church is going. And one of the struggles that you've heard me harp on over and over again. But there are lots of people in God's house, and most of you will see them on TV, who do things that I think are totally against Scripture. I was flipping through channels last night and watching some of the religious channels. I do it sometimes just, I don't want to say for entertainment, but I do it because my heart breaks. And I think it's hilarious too sometimes how people, and hilarious is not the right word, but I think it's heartbreaking how people see that and believe it. But one guy had a commercial on for his television show, one of these religious stations. And last night he was talking about some of the points of the message that was going to be presented the next time he was on TV. And one point, I kid you not, was why God wants everyone to be wealthy. Why God wants everyone to be wealthy. And I thought, if the Lord came down and he was present and he was visible, he would take that, he would take that man, he would take that message, and he would throw it out of the church. And he would say, this is not what my kingdom is about. And we all have to understand that there are things that the kingdom is not about, and God is angry with those things. You know, hear me now, and don't stop after 20 seconds here. But God is not in favor of homosexuality. He's not. It is against his purposes and will for our life, and it is listed in the Scripture as a sin against God. Now, don't stop there. Because so is adultery, so is fornication, so is anger, so is pride, so is lust. And we cannot bring any of those things into the church and say, hey, it's okay. We cannot turn our eye and say, homosexuality is okay. It's kind of the thing of the day now, and it's okay. Any more than we can adultery or pride or lust or thievery or anger. You name the sin, and the church's job is to hold it up to the light, preach against it, and let people know that it is an abomination to God. That's our job. And we can't pick and choose the ones that we say we're going to be okay with. Because God will come into us and he will turn the tables over. And he will throw us out. And that's what Scripture teaches. And so you do have the right to be angry and show just cause when something is against the Word of God. Or when it goes against his purposes and his will. You have that right. Second thing is this. Anger can be destructive. Anger can be destructive. It's important for you to understand that. It's probably something you're very, very well aware of. But I want to point out two things that anger can do in a destructive manner. First thing is this. It can ruin relationships. It's one of the interesting things that I've been studying when I've been studying all these seven deadly sins. Almost all of them, when you think about it, whether it's lust or pride or greed or gluttony or whatever the sin that we're talking about that day is, almost all of them, when somebody is caught in that sin, it's going to ruin the relationship with other people around them. You just can't help but avoid that. If I'm an angry person, Laura doesn't want to be around me. My children don't want to be around me. Nobody at work wants to be around me. Why would anybody want to be around me? You know people like that. You know people that just seem to be angry, and you don't want to be around them. Anger is a sin that will ruin relationships if you don't learn to control it and you don't learn to deal with it. But more importantly, not only does it ruin relationships with others, it's going to ruin yourself. It's going to ruin yourself. Just like I shared with you a few minutes ago, when you're an angry person, it eats at you. Now, every once in a while, I tend to remind you, and I know most of you probably know this, that Laura is a counselor, but you don't have to be a counselor to know that one of the things that she has to deal with on a regular basis is people who are angry and what to do with that anger. And one of the things that she tells them, and one of the things that I tell them when I visit with them at church, and one of the things that you all understand, is that when you are angry, it eats at you. And your insides become twisted because the anger eats at you. And as much destruction as you think it's doing to somebody else, it's doing 10 times more destruction in your life. And for that reason, and that reason alone, you have got to learn to get the anger under control. Well, the last thing I want to share with you this morning is that you can rise above anger. You can. You can rise above it. You can rise over it. And anger does not have to control you anymore. Let me tell you four things that will help you rise above anger. And I want to share with you Ephesians 4:31 here. I don't know if you have that. Ashley, do you have that? Thank you so much. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Remember when we talked about the manifestations of anger? Well, here they are. Anger manifests itself in bitterness. It manifests itself in rage, in harsh words, and in slander. And the Scripture says that you're supposed to get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. So how do you do that? Well, the first thing you can do is this. You can refuse to hold on to it. You know, you make the choice of what you want to do with anger. And a lot of you have just said, I'm going to keep it. It's mine. I parked it here in my heart. and I'm not letting it go. But the problem is when you do that, again, like I said earlier, you're just hurting yourself. So if you're going to rise above and over anger, you have got to figure out a way to quit holding on to it. You've got to figure out a way to go to that spouse and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to be angry at you anymore. I'm letting go of it. You've got to figure out a way to go to your boss and say, you know, I was frustrated with you. I was angry with you, but I'm not doing it anymore. You've got to figure out a way to go to your brother or your sister, the guy at the bank, the guy at the school, and say, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, I'm not going to be angry anymore. That's not the kind of life that I'm going to lead. You know, we've got a scripture in Matthew 18 that was brought up to me. I've been struggling with anger at a person for a while. And somebody did something wrong to me and to my family. And I've been dealing with that anger and trying to figure out what God wants me to do. And somebody the other day said to me, have you read Matthew 18 lately? And I said, I'm sure I have, but I couldn't tell you what it said. And he said, well, let me show you. And he pulled out the Bible and he showed me where it says, if a brother has sinned against you, it's your responsibility to go to that brother and say, you sinned against me. And then if he doesn't respond to that sin, then get two or three more other people and go to him. And if he doesn't respond to those two or three other people, then you go to his church. And I thought, you know, for 2 years, I've held anger against this guy. And I'm still dealing with it. Trust me, this is my hard spot right here where I'm trying to figure out how to let go of it. But one of the things that I'm convinced that God is beginning to teach me is that if I'm ever going to let go of it, I'm going to have to do something scriptural. And one of the things that I'm going to have to do scriptural is I'm going to have to deal with him and let him know. And if he refuses, then that's his problem. And he's got to deal with God. But I can let go of it. I can get rid of it and say it's no longer mine. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to figure out a way to do that. And I've made the commitment to myself that I'm going to deal with it. Second thing is this, you need to seek his forgiveness. You need to seek his forgiveness. If you're going to let go of your anger and you're going to give it away, one of the ways that you can keep it away is by seeking his forgiveness. The devil loves to do this with you. The devil loves to let you throw out your burdens, your cares, your angers. That's why he says, cast all his cares upon him, because he cares for you, talking about Jesus. And I love that word cast there. And the reason I love that word cast is because most all of us think about casting and then bringing it back. And what Scripture tells us to do is cast it and let it go. And one of the ways you can let it go, and one of the biggest issues we have with our cares and our burdens and our sins, when we cast them to Jesus, is that we don't ask for forgiveness. We just say, here, Jesus, I'm an angry person. Deal with it. Instead of saying, here, Jesus, I'm an angry person. Forgive me. Forgive me. And that forgiveness makes all the difference in the world when you go to him and you say, I want to be forgiven. If you want to read a cool story, and I encourage you to do this afternoon or maybe this week, go to Jonah and read the story about Jonah, how he got angry with God, didn't want to do what God said for him to do. God said, go do this. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. And you know, most of you know the story of Jonah and what happened. But if you read that, it's incredible about Jonah getting so angry. He gets angry at God and says, I'd just soon be dead than have to deal with you. And watch how Jonah's life transforms when he asks for forgiveness and gets forgiveness for God. It's incredible. Read Jonah. Third thing is this, guard your tongue. If you want to rule or rise above your anger, you're going to have to learn to guard your tongue. It's the hardest thing. You want another book to read this week? Read the book of James. Go to about the third or fourth chapter when they're talking, the Holy Spirit can talk to you about what it says about how your tongue is so evil and how it can hurt people. And I've used my tongue so many times to hurt somebody, it breaks my heart. And the only way you can ever stop it, and the only way you can ever rise above it, is if you learn to snap your tongue shut. Snap your mouth shut. Don't let your tongue work so much. And the last thing is, ask for help. Nobody can do this on their own. Nobody can. When you have sin in your life, you cannot conquer it by yourself. You can't. I don't care what the sin is. You will never conquer it unless you ask Jesus Christ for the help. He's the one that can give you help, and He's the one that can help you conquer your sin. Will you pray with me? God, this has been a really difficult subject for me because it hits so close to home. It's very personal to me when I talk about anger because I know it's a sin that I've dealt with. And God, I thank you that you're an understanding God. But God, even in your understanding, you want us to be broken. You want us to recognize sin in our life, and you want us to get help for it. And Father, we know that the only help, the true help, the ultimate help comes from you. And so, Father, we turn to you and we ask that you would be in the business of forgiveness to us. Father, where we have used our tongue to hurt somebody, we ask for forgiveness. Where we have lashed out, where we have pouted, where we have done things that you would not be proud of, we ask your forgiveness. And God, we ask that you, in your infinite mercy, in your infinite grace, would continue to teach us wisely about how we can deal with this sin. God, we love you and we thank you. And Father, we look forward to the day that we will spend eternity with you. But until that day, God, we ask you to make us your faithful servants here on this kingdom, your kingdom that we walk in. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.